Good morning.
Good morning.
Good to see you in the house of worship on this Epiphany Sunday. Rechargeable or disposable batteries? This could spark a debate. But for our purposes today, the point is to keep fresh, that is, ready to go, batteries at all times. And that principle applies when it comes to our soul, especially given all that is thrown at us in this life. We have been given a way to keep our soul fresh, that is, ready to stay in faith at all times. And so God bless you through the means of grace before us in our worship today. Let's turn our attention to our opening hymn, hymn 35 in the red hymnal. Please stand as we continue on page 3 of the worship bulletin. We worship this day in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Dear friends, let us approach God with a true heart and confess our sins, asking him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to forgive us. Lord of life,
I confess that I am by nature dead in sin, for faithless, worry, and selfish pride, for sins of habit and sins of choice, for the evil I have done and the good I have failed to do. You should cast me away from your presence forever. O Lord, I am sorry for my sins. Forgive me for Jesus' sake.
Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. In his great mercy, God made us alive in Christ even when we were dead in our sins. Hear the word of Christ through his called servant. I forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the well-being of all people everywhere, that they may receive from you all they need to sustain body and life, hear our prayer, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the spread of your life-giving gospel throughout the world, that all who are lost in sin may be brought to faith in you, hear our prayer, O Christ.
Christ, have mercy.
For patience and perseverance in this life, that we may not lose the hope of heaven as we await your return, hear our prayer, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Lord of life, live in us that we may live for you.
Amen.
Please be seated. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Lord God, by the leading of a star, you once made known to the nations your one and only Son. Guide us also, who know him now by faith, to come at last to the perfect joy of your heavenly glory.
Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God.
On this Epiphany Sunday, when we celebrate the light of the world who has come into our world and shown himself to be the Savior, our first lesson comes to us with the prophet Isaiah, the 60th chapter, pointing out the fact that though the present may have been bleak for the children of Israel, their future was going to be oh so bright. And this because the Lord God intended to keep his promise. A light has indeed come into the world. We hear these words, "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you." See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the peoples. But the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look about you. All assemble and come to you. Your sons come from afar, and your daughters are carried on the hip. Then you will look and be radiant. Your heart will throb and swell with joy. The wealth of the seas will be brought to you. To you the riches of the nations will come. Herds of camels will cover your land, young camels of Midian and Ephah, and all from Sheba will come, bearing gold and incense and proclaiming the praise of the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. We continue with hymn number 90. The gospel, in a way, is a mystery to us as human beings. It's not a way of salvation we ourselves would come up with. So thanks be to God, he has revealed the mystery. We are saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, the light of the world. This encouragement and reminder in Ephesians 3. Surely you have heard about the administration of God's grace that was given to me for you. That is the mystery made known to me by revelation, as I have already written briefly. In reading this, then, you will be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to people in other generations, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to God's holy apostles and prophets. This mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and sharers together in the promise in Christ Jesus. I have become a servant of this gospel, by the gift of God's grace given me through the working of his power. Although I am less than the least of all the Lord's people, this grace was given me to preach to the Gentiles the boundless riches of Christ and to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery, which for ages past was kept hidden in God, who created all things. His intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, according to his eternal purpose that he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. In him and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. This is the word of the Lord. Hymn number 67.
Thank you.
Please stand for the gospel reading. From the Holy Gospel of St. Matthew, the second chapter, the words of the prophets did indeed come true. People from distant nations would come to learn about the Savior and glorify him. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose and went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to you, O Christ.
Please be seated as we continue with our next hymn, hymn 79. Please note how we'll sing the verses of this hymn.
Thank you.
grace and peace are yours in great abundance. And this is from God our Father, through the light of the world, Jesus Christ, the Savior of the nations. We focus our attention on the Old Testament reading for today through the prophet Isaiah, where we hear once again, "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you." This is God's word, we pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Dear friends in Christ, through that Savior of the nations, Jesus Christ, the light of the world, what's one of the first things that you might do when you walk into a dark room? Scream? Perhaps, perhaps not. You reach for a light switch. Important thing to do. Or you might clap if you have one of those clapper devices. How about when you want to read a note or write a note and you're in a dark room or space, what might you do? Well, you either will turn on a switch or you'll go to an area of the room or of the house where there is light, natural light, or ability to turn on a switch. How about in the middle of the night when you have to make those trips within the house? If you don't turn on some form of light, what potentially could happen? Yeah, we don't want that. So either we have some form of light, a night light, or keep a light on, or turn a light on, so that we don't have a mishap. We get the point, right? The point is, we need light. Light is important to our daily life, the very fiber of our being, and not just the light that comes from the sun, or the light that comes through devices which produce light, but more importantly, the light which comes from God, our Father in heaven. And that light which we celebrate yet again today as we move into the church season of Epiphany, when we celebrate Him who is the light of the world, Jesus Christ, who has shown Himself to be the Savior of the nations. How important that is as we prepare ourselves for the true reason why Jesus came into this world, to give of Himself for us. Dear people of God, how important it is for us then to stay in the light. The light which provides the peace and the way that we need through this life. And the light that provides what we need to stay on the right path through this life. Important words from the prophet Isaiah by the Holy Spirit in this restoration section of the prophet Isaiah's words. The children of Israel, they were told that they were going to receive punishment because of their disobedience, their wanting to walk away from the light that God had provided them, that they would be taken captive, but for a time. They would be restored again, not as the prominent nation as they once were, for example, under Kings David and Solomon, but even in a better way. And so God kept His promise to the nation of Israel, not because of who they were, not because of David and Solomon, but because of that promise that through them, the Savior of the nations would come. And so people would flock to Israel, not for their own glory, but for the glory that they represented in Jesus Christ, the Savior of the nations. So even during the bleakness that they were living and in the short term would have to go through, there was still a reason for hope in the short term and in the big picture. And isn't that the same for you and me today as well? At times, this present life may be bleak as we go through various aches and pains, as we walk into a dark room and forget to turn on the light and go bump in the night and things hurt. Or we have friends and family members who are going through hard times, or our nation is in uproar and the world is in uproar, there are bleak times in the short term and foreseeable future. Yet, what do we still have going for us and with us and in us in the short term, in the present, and in the future, the huge future? Yes, there is still light before us today and tomorrow and the next day, all the way into heaven. Because Jesus, the light of the world, has indeed come. So, dear friends, stay in the light who has provided us with peace and purpose and hope in this life, as we keep our eyes fixed on the life to come. And so God has dwelt among us in the flesh. Can we contemplate the fact that God in Jesus himself, who was sitting at the right hand of God, humbled himself to take on flesh and blood, who gave up all wealth to be poor so that we could be wealth where it matters most? Do we comprehend the fact that Jesus has dwelt among us and given us this by his act of humility? How important it was for Jesus to come to this earth in flesh. And so Isaiah, he leads to some important realities. The reality of God dwelling among us in the flesh, in the form of Jesus Christ. Because that reality is dealing with the other reality. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the peoples. There is indeed darkness in the world. We gave examples of some of that darkness, the bumps and bruises that we go through in life, but what's really at the heart of that darkness? It's sin. Sin has filled this world. It has put people in darkness. By nature, we are in the dark. We are not seeking God by nature. We are not in line with God's will by nature. And so we are in the dark, and only through the light of Jesus Christ, by the work of the Holy Spirit, through the means of grace, do we come to see Him who is light, and thus get in line with God's will for our lives now and into eternity. But there are still plenty of people, aren't there, who remain in darkness, in sin's captivity, in ignorance, in oppression, who are lost, and sadly don't even realize that they are lost. And then we have people who have been in the light, but sin has captivated their hearts once again, and if so, have lost their way and are walking in darkness yet again. See, darkness does indeed cover the earth. But there's a way to deal with that darkness, with that sin, with that oppression, with that lost way. And that is through Jesus, who is the light of the world. Arise, shine, for your light has come, O Israel. O people of St. Mark's, O people of the nations, the light has come. There is no reason to be sitting around moping. You have been given hope and peace and joy. So why do you let Satan steal your joy day after day when you have such peace and hope and light? Do we sometimes act like Jesus has not come into the world? Can people tell from your actions, from your words, that Jesus is alive and well in you and in the world? Or do they come away from you going, man, that was a depressing conversation. You must be a depressed person. Now, it's not taken away that we go through some depressing, difficult times, but what do we have in the face of all that? What does Paul say in Corinthians? We fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary. What is unseen is eternal. The problems that we have, what did Paul say in Romans 8? Our present sufferings are not worth comparing to the eternal glory that awaits us. So why are you moping when we do? When we have so much still going in our favor, is the glass half empty or half full? Dear friends in Christ, By the grace of God, that glass is always at least half full. The light has come. Arise, shine. He has taken care of the darkness. Jesus, the light of the world, came into this world and lived the life that we cannot live and took that life to the cross and died the death we deserve to die. For all the times that we doubt God, and you think Israel doubted God as they were going through those bleak times? When we go through bleak times, do we doubt the love of God and His presence in our life? Sure we do. We're human. And that's why we need to stay in the light and feed that old, that new man, to be reminded of the fact that despite the bleakness, we still have hope, we still have light. Your sins are still forgiven. The bleak times, the doubts, and so forth, do not nullify what Jesus Christ has already done for you. And that's what's neat when the prophet speaks these words. It's like they already happened. It's like Jesus Christ already has come into the world in flesh, and yet that was 700 years in the making. Dear friends, we are more than conquerors now already. We may not feel it day in and day out with the aches and the pains and the sin that we have to struggle with, but that's who we are in Christ. And so stay in the light who has given you this identity, who has given you this peace, this joy, and this hope. And why has He given it to you? Not just so that you can be with Him for all eternity, but so that you can be a light to the people who are still sitting in darkness. Israel was to be that light for the nations around them. God had set them apart to be a nation for a set purpose. Not to be a killer powerhouse here on earth, but to be a beacon for the people around them sitting in darkness. And so God had to discipline them, to always refine them, to be that kind of light. And God at times has to discipline us and chastise us to be that kind of light that He has called us to be. Because we are to be not a powerhouse church necessarily here on earth, but a beacon, a light for people so that they can be prepared to meet God Almighty when it matters most. And so we do this as people have done for us. When they established St. Mark's in the 60s. And we built on a hill. Our forefathers saw the wisdom. We can be a beacon. And then in the 70s, started off at church. And now in the 2000s, we started off another church. By the grace of God, God has blessed us to be a light and to realize that light is not just to be kept in Citrus Heights, but also in Penryn and Folsom and beyond. And we recognize going to the world in all nations, and so He wants us to be a light in all the world. And so we do our congregation mission offerings as a percentage of our offerings. Each week goes to support spreading the light throughout the world. One day we'll be able to see the people that have been touched by the gospel. The mystery no longer, because it has been revealed thanks to you to other people. One day we'll get to see those people in heaven. And then we also have the opportunity to be light bearers through our personal witness. When we go to victory services of a family or friend, we have an opportunity to let the light of Christ shine through us. When people are going through cancer, through other sicknesses and so forth, we have an opportunity to let the light of Christ shine through us. Things are bleak now, but we still have hope now and a glorious future. We do have a powerful, wonderful message for ourselves and for others to hear. God has blessed His people throughout the years. He blessed Israel, making them into a nation where people would come to see the light, Jesus Christ. The Magi came. Acts chapter 2, people did come and heard about the message, and the church has grown. We have over 1,000 churches in our church body alone that are celebrating the light as we are. We have over 20 Lutheran area high schools helping young people stay in the faith and grow in the light, Jesus Christ, and learn how to be lights even more so. And we have seminaries throughout the world training pastors to be proclaimers of that light. And even closer to home, we have been blessed with wealth, in talent, and in treasure to do the Lord's work, to let the light shine among us and around us and through us. So again, the challenge is, week in and week out, what are you going to do with this light that God has given to you? What are you going to do to help stay in this light during the week? And what are you going to be able to do, intentionally or not intentionally? Because we are to be prepared to preach the word, to share the light in season and out of season. What are you going to do to spread the light this week? What needs to change in you, perhaps? Your attitude, your actions, your words? What word of encouragement can you offer to somebody else? Arise, shine, the light has come. The light that gives our life peace and purpose and joy. The light that also provides us with what we need to stay on the right path. And we need that because there's way too many people living dangerously. You know that game, Capture the Flag? People play it in the dark. I always scratch my head, especially in school playgrounds. When you don't know when that playground swing set is coming up at you in a metal pole, and you go bam in the night. Why do we do that? We take a chance. Don't take a chance with life. We have the light. Help people see the light. Grow in that light. Stay in that light. Amen. Please rise. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard and keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, the light of the world. Amen. Let us now confess our Christian faith with the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became fully human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who in unity with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Christian apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. O Christ, our true and only light, enlighten those who sit in night. Let those afar now hear your voice, and in your fold with us rejoice. Lord, give us always generous hearts to use what you have given, to spread your gospel near and far, and bring people into heaven. Amen. We continue with the prayer of the church. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God and Mary's Son, in the fullness of time you came into our world to save us from sin and death. Beloved Son of the Father, revered by the Magi, baptized by John, you came preaching and teaching, healing and comforting, forgiving and encouraging.
You are the light of life to those walking in darkness, and the joy of salvation to those doomed to death.
Prince of Peace, shine like a beacon for us and the people of our world. Let the good news of salvation be heard in the remotest corners of the earth. Open our own lips to speak your name to those around us who still live without faith or hope.
Arouse us in our missionaries to flood the world with the light of your gospel.
Lord of the Church, let your peace rule our hearts, that we may use our gifts to serve you and each other in willing gratitude and joy. Watch over our loved ones near and far, that they may remember your love and rejoice in your salvation. Strengthen the faith of the sick and the disheartened. Give hope to those in despair and comfort those who mourn.
Be gracious to all and lead us to reflect your love in everything you say and do.
Lord, you moved the Apostle Paul to say to live is Christ and to die is gain. With that in mind, we commend to you our brother in faith, Bill Bass, who has been placed under hospice care. He continues to live in this life for you by your grace. And he looks forward to the life to come by your grace. We also then commend to you his wife Judy. Continue to provide her with the strength and peace she needs through this difficult time. Continue to watch over the coming and going of those able to celebrate another year of grace here on earth. And for those celebrating a wedding anniversary, renew the couple's love for each other as they reflect on the love you have for them. Hear us, Lord, as we bring you our private petitions. Finally, bring us and all your believers to the heavenly home, where we will stand in the full light of your glory, and with all your saints and angels sing the everlasting song of triumph.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly good and right that we should at all times and in all places give you thanks, O Lord, Holy Father, almighty and everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who came as the light of the world, so that the world may have light and life through him. Therefore, with all the saints on earth and hosts of heaven, we praise your holy name and join their glorious song.
Thank you.
Blessed are you, O Lord of heaven and earth. We praise and thank you for sending your Son, Jesus Christ, and we remember the great acts of love through which he has ransomed us from sin, death, and the devil's power.
By his incarnation, he became one of us. By his perfect life, he fulfilled your holy will. By his innocent death, he overcame hell. By his rising from the grave, he overcame death.
Invited by your grace and instructed by your word, we approach your table with repentant and joyful hearts. Strengthen us through Christ's body and blood, and preserve us in the true faith until we feast with him and all his ransomed people in glory everlasting.
Amen.
And we also pray,
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, in the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he gave thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen.
Thank you.
We give you thanks, O Lord, for the foretaste of the heavenly banquet that you have given us to eat and to drink in this sacrament. Through this gift, you have fed our faith, nourished our hope, and strengthened our love. By your Spirit, help us to live as your holy people until that day when you will receive us as your guests at the wedding supper of the Lamb, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
Morning again, a blessed day to each and every one of you. Just to emphasize again our welcome center, if you want information to share with family and friends, those who don't know about Jesus, or you want to encourage back to Jesus, and for our guests, they're there at the welcome center, you'll find our mission and purpose and materials to use to evangelize, so blessings as you use those materials. Bible studies today, we're starting a new topic here in the church sanctuary. The theology of the cross is the title. We'll look at what the cross of Christ has to do with our day-to-day lives as we deal with the crosses that we have in our life as well. And then the new Sunday school format begins today. For a highlight of that, you can go to the weekly news and see. But at 9:15, for those involved in the Sunday school, you can go and start in the chapel today at 9:15. And then teens will be meeting in the upper room in this building. The chapel is in the building next door. You'll see it there. Mission Box Sunday for LWMS. Keep that in mind. A way to support spreading the light of Jesus throughout the nations. More information on that Mission Box can be found on the information board there in the entryway. Also in the entryway, there is cake to help celebrate David and Cheryl Scoltetti's wedding, which took place yesterday, so they provided a cake for us to enjoy, so please find that in the entryway. No, you don't have to put it in your face in honor of them. You can eat it in your mouth. That's how that works. See the weekly news for other events and happenings, things going on at St. Mark's, things that you can invite people to. You'll find the weekly news there in the entryway. And then a stewardship update, a quarterly update from Chuck, our stewardship chairman.
Good morning. I'll make this brief as I guess I'm standing between everyone and the cake. But you'll remember that on November 17th, I reported that offerings for the year were substantially well behind fiscal year-to-date expectations. We were getting the bills paid, but we're having to borrow from internal funds to do that. I painted a picture of serious concern about finances for the coming year and encouraged all of us to help with increased offerings and or over and above gifts as we were willing and able. Well, I'm happy to report that the congregation has responded with generous offerings in December. As a result of that nice bump, we are caught up on bills and entering the new year on a more solid financial footing. So thank you very, very much. Note that we are still looking at monthly shortfalls as we go forward, but December's offerings have given us a little breathing room as we as a congregation consider our future ministry plans and assess what level of support we can expect in the long term. These future ministry plans and ideas will be considered at our January 19th congregational meeting, and I hope we can all be there. Thanks again for your continued support of St. Mark's Ministry and your generous response to our immediate needs. As you fill out your commitment cards, if you haven't yet, they're available in the back on the left, please prayerfully consider what level of steady support you can provide for the throughout the year for the Lord's work here. Again, Happy New Year. Thank you very much, and please greet one another.